Okay, sure. Whatever you like.
Well, first of all, thank you very much to Joel for that introduction, and more importantly for his sons, who we share nachas with. And this is an appropriate moment for us to wish him Mazel Tov. His son Shimi is engaged to Eliana Hammer. The parents are both on the committee of running the conference, so if you have children, you're looking to marry them off. The schus of helping other people with their children, maybe within the committee, you know, we continue having smachot. So Mazel Tov. It's really an honor to be part of the Chatima for such a great day. And I think what's special about the day is there are some unbelievable speakers. I just spoke after one of them, Rabbi Eitan Feiner. As I was walking down the aisle, I saw people crying, tears of simcha, of appreciating what they had learned from him and many others. And these speakers, you're a community that's blessed with them being in your midst and hearing them across in all the different shuls and all the different places. But there really isn't an opportunity to hear them all under one roof as part of one program focused on one topic. And even though each of these speakers is different in their hashkafa and their style, and that's very special, that's why there are different shuls and different schools, it's very special to have a moment, a day, where people can emphasize what we share as opposed to how we're different, and that really is very much what this is about. And it's a great thing on a Sunday to have hundreds of people, it seems about 500 total, in the course of the day to come out, to learn, some for more, some for less. And yeshu koach to all those on the committee and the Young Israel of Woodmere, of course, for hosting and making it possible. Speaking of the Young Israel of Woodmere, they were very nice to make the Korot sheets for Shani and I. You may notice on page 2 there's a difference between the page settings of Hebrew, you know, Israeli and American paper. So sometimes it comes out that way. So I apologize for that. Getting to the topic itself, it's very hard for parents to speak about education because no matter how hard we try, it's always challenging and none of us are perfect at it. Marriage is even more so. Marriage is the hardest relationship to maintain, sustain, and help grow. And I want to begin by saying that I hope the things I'll show you that I know from the Torah are things I can teach myself to do even better. Or better, and that we can all learn from each other about what to strive for. Of course, accomplishing this is much harder than actually speaking about it. Rabbi Weinberger this morning spoke about how his wife had been to thousands of Shalom Bayis seminars where they say you buy flowers for your wife for Shabbos, everything's fine. Halavai were that simple. And I think very often the topic, the discussion of these topics become very generic, etc., or are very much about things that broader society talks about. There are books written by this expert, in quotes, this expert, etc. And sometimes we're left wondering, what is the Jewish Torah view? What's really right for us as Jews? On the one hand, man and woman, non-Jewish men and women, Jewish men and women, same thing. It's about relationships. On the other hand, no way we can say that about ourselves, where the crux of our life is Torah values. So the question is, what aspects of building a strong marriage are Torah values and therefore appropriate to from people? And this again is a topic we talk about for 3 hours, which I'm not going to do. I condensed a few basic points that I want to speak about, and these are really just the beginning of a much broader conversation. Let's begin on page 1. We know last week, 2 weeks ago, we read in the Parsha of Sota that a woman who's suspected of doing the wrong thing, she drinks from the water. If she was innocent, she's blessed with children or with healthier, easier births. Gemara in Brachot speaks about that. And I think there's an obvious question here. This woman definitely did something wrong. She was alone with another man after she was warned not to be. So if she's innocent, at most, she should be let off. Why is she given blessings for having done something inappropriate to begin with? Meaning she was alone with another man? I think the answer Chazal saw to this question is basic to understanding the story of Sota and marriage as a whole. And I'll explain what I mean. The Ramban summarizes 2 other approaches to Sota. He points out that this is really the only place in the Torah where God tells us to use an open miracle to clarify a situation. God tells us that a woman's going to drink, she's going to go into her stomach, she'll either blow up or not blow up. Why is the miracle mandated here? The Ramban says there are 2 important goals, the last 2 lines in the Ramban. Number 1, to deter people. If people know that if they do these things, they're going to have to drink the water, and this could happen to them, it's going to be an excellent deterrent. The women will be careful. And then he says, number 2, to keep the purity of Jewish families, that we should know if a child comes from this father and this mother or not, and how important it is to have that family base that we can rely upon. Linakot Yisrael min amam zeirut sheyu ruyim lashrot shechina b'tocham. And these explanations are given by many other Rishonim. The goal of Sota is to be a deterrent and to keep family lines pure. Chazal had a different approach. And I think it's because of the question we began with and another question. If you look in Bamidbar Perek Hei, when the Torah describes a situation that generates a chiyuv to drink, it talks about one case where a woman did something wrong, v'shachav ishota shefchad zer v'ne'ala me'enei isha, and then in Pasuk Yudalit it describes a second scenario. V'avar alav ruach kina v'kineyat ishto, v'hinit ma'al. Oh, avar alav ruach kina v'kineyat ishto. Later on, when it summarizes the halachas of Sota, Pasuk Chavtet, it says, Zot Torat HaKna'ot. Sota is described as a situation of kin'ah. And halachically, the only way a woman drinks is if the husband has an issue with what she's doing. Meaning, if a woman is seen going into a room with someone, two eidim see her, she doesn't drink. The only way she drinks is if the husband has a problem. There's a kin'ah. There's a jealousy, there's a suspicion, there's a frustration. Why? I think this and the bracha a woman gets if she's innocent are what led Chazal to say something revolutionary about this parsha. That's different than the pshatim that the Ramban and other Rishonim gave. Chazal says, "Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Mem Aleph, Gadol Shalom Shebein Ish LeIshto. The shalom between man and wife is so greatly important, and we'll see why at the end of the shiur, beyond just marriage. The Torah mandates, no less than the erasure of God's name, to restore this shalom. Now, God couldn't figure it out some other way. God couldn't make the same thing happen without erasing his name. Why does God say erase the name? To teach us something. To teach us about the centrality of shalom bein ish leishto. And the Chinuch talks about this and he says, Shorash mitzvah zu nigla l'chol roi ha-shemesh. This is clear to anyone who sees the sun, the shevach of our nation, that we should have the ability that people should be able to get past the suspicion that spouses can have about one another. Later he says, everything, including the children being holy, starts with the trust, the restoration of trust. And Chazal speak about this in many, many places. For example, bottom of page 1, talks about how the waters below the world wanted to come up when David was dealing in the foundations for the Beit HaMikdash and engulf the world. And they didn't know, could they do something to stop it? Could they erase the name of God? And finally, Achitophel says, if you can erase the name of God for Ish Le'isha, for sure to save the whole world. And it wasn't Pashut, by the way, that the whole world was more important than Ish Le'isha. On a more local level, if you look at page 3, the Gemara says that a man was very frustrated that his wife was going to Shiurim. Of Divin Tanoim, and he said to his wife, you can't have any hanah from my possessions until you go feed the food you made for me to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda ate the food, even though it was like a zilzal that he was being forced to eat it in this part of the situation. He goes, Kal v'chomer, if God erases his name for the shalom bein ish le'ishto, for sure I can belittle myself for this. And I believe that's why there's a bracha for the innocent woman. Lo yitachen, this ruptured relationship, where we've proven that she's innocent, we're going to send her home in the same circumstances. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants to give a bracha that will hopefully strengthen the relationship between this man and woman that's descended to this point. And it's a very important thing for us to realize when we have difficulties in marriage or in our children's marriage, etc. We don't want to just resolve it. We have to find some way to add bracha, to add simcha, so that people can come more closely together. And an amazing tshuva of Rabbi Avadji Yosef, Yabia Omer, there was a woman who gave birth to her first child, the Bechor, a ben. After the Bris Milah, the husband began preparing for the pigeon, a ben. The woman told her rabbi, I brought the shalat to Rabbi Avadji Yosef. She goes, my husband doesn't know it, but I'm in Balas Tshuva. And before I was in Balas Tshuva, I lived with another man, and I got pregnant, and I had an abortion, because I was not religious. And so this is not my first child. He's going to go make a pigeon, a ben. The money is the money, but the bracha is the bracha of Atala. What should I do? On the other hand, if I tell him, Rav Avadja said, we learned from the Parsha of Sota. You erase the name of God in order to restore peace. For sure, saying the name of God that way. Rav Avadja had this broader understanding of what the Parsha is about. It's not just to ensure the purity of marriages. It's to ensure the shalom of marriages. And the reason this is so important, Rav Kook has a beautiful piece, we don't have enough time to learn properly, but I'll read a couple of the headlines. He writes, Ha'imun ha-mishpachti, the trust within a family, the reliance that a family can have on one another. Hu tolda v'hamshacha kavit me'ota emunah ha'gdola ha'shruya ba'omek ha'ava. He says it's a direct line, a direct continuation of the natural trust we have that's included in love. Love encourages you to want to trust. And we have to be able to have that trust in order for love to build the relationships it aims to build. In the second paragraph, Rav Kook writes, Hami'ila ha-mishpachtit. When there is a violation, a betrayal within a family, hi mi'ila mehareset et ha'ushiyut ha-ma'amidot et ha-yitzira v'kochotea b'yichusam ha-klali l'shachlel et ha-olam ha-ma'asi ha-ruchani. In English, in short, he says, when we lose, when we feel betrayed within the family, it destroys the pillars of our ability to relate to anyone. And he writes in the third piece, the world is searching for this ability to trust and build together. This godly blessing to give us the ability to build a world that functions together. Because it starts at the ability to work with a spouse. And if our world is one that's crumbling on the social level, it begins with the fact that the core relationships don't function correctly. And that's why God's name, He says to erase it for the Shalom Bein Ish L'Isha, because without that, a person who doesn't have that calm peace at home, it naturally radiates in how we relate to the rest of the world. And that's why this topic is so important, beyond just how we relate to our spouse. Continuing on page 4. By me, it's page 4. The Prichat Ahava Achrei Nisuin? 3. Okay, good. So I guess it got corrected in the office. Every time I say 4, it's 3, 5 is 4, Vaita. Okay. The most important thing to know about marriage is that it's the beginning of love, not the climax of love. And I think people, they get caught up in the Disney feeling of love, and they're all excited about marriage, and we feel this great love, and etc., and done. That's the biggest lie about Disney films. You don't live happily ever after. You work for happiness ever after. And I'm going to show you this from many, many places that are very powerful. For example, Bereishis Perek Chaf Dalet, it says Yitzchak brings Rivka into the tent. Vatehi lo le'isha, and she was his wife. Vayaveh, and he loved her. Rav Kook, Rav Shimshir Fal Hirsch writes, we see from here that amongst the Jewish people, the wedding isn't the climax. It's the beginnings, it's the roots, it's the foundations. And I think compatibility is 10% of a good couple. The heart of the relationship, 90% of it, is the work you do together. The building you do together. And I often tell Talmidim, if you spent half the time you spent trying to figure out who to marry, in making that person the right person, by investing properly, by figuring out, by caring properly, you'd be much better off. And the second point, which we'll get to and speak more about at length, is the importance of children. Children are what a couple on the most basic level create together. It's how you're godly together. Children help fortify the bond between people. And there's a big mistake made in our world today where people want to see what their marriage is before they have children. That's a terrible thing when a marriage breaks apart when there are children. But the best way to ensure that a marriage has a good chance is when we build something together and we see something that our life is about besides ourselves in a world that's so focused on ourselves. I'll get back to this medrash later and you'll see as we move on. What are the ways to develop this love? Well, let's take Yitzchak and Rivka to the next perek, perek Chafhei. We know they're described as davening. Yitzchak in one corner, Rivka in the other corner. But God answers Yitzchak's tefillah. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayetar Yitzchak LaHashem linochach ishto ki yakarahi. He's davening for opposite her because she's barren. Vayetar lo Hashem. God hears his tefillah. Vatar Rivka ishto. Pesukim don't actually farish right that she was davening. The talks here about his davening. What does linochach mean? So famously Rashi says opposite her. The Radak has another pshat, it's complementary, not contradictory. Linochach ishto, l'umat ishto klomar ba'avura. He was davening for her, that he shouldn't have to take another wife. The Cheskuni elaborates on this more. He knew that he would have a child. God promised, ki b'yitzchak yikar l'chazara. What does he have to daven for? If it doesn't work out with her, he'll take another wife, just like Avram, his father, did. He wanted something else. He felt a relationship with her. He wanted children from her, not from anyone else. That understanding, which is reinforced by translating the understanding, of wanting your life to run through someone else, to be through someone else. You want your accomplishments, your success, your building to be with this person. That understanding, flipping that switch at the time of marriage, is the beginning of building a healthy marriage with another person. My success is with this person, is as we succeed as a unit. The Medrash, bottom of page 3, describes this vividly and says, Yitzchak was davening on the floor, prostrated on one side of the room, she on the other. He said, Ribono Shel Olam, kol banim sha'ata noten li yihyu min hatzadeket hazoh. Af hi amra came, kol banim sha'ata tidli ten li yihyu min hatzadeket hazoh. It's not about me having children. It's about us having children. The view, the understanding, and the goal of working with somebody else. Continuing on page 4, closeness, relationships are built off sacrifice. So hard in a world that's so self-centered. We know from Korbanos, Adam ki yakriv mikem, the Maral writes, the Korban is the way we grow close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Korban, Karev. It starts with Yakriv. Karov, Yakriv. The Abar Ben El writes that a Korban is basically where a person expresses his dedication, his focus, like an Eved El Adonav. My life is about someone, something else. And the Gemara in Gittin connects between marriage and this concept of Korbanos very beautifully. Amar Rabbi Elazar, calling the Garish Ishta Rishona, person who breaks up with that first relationship, afilu mizbeach morid alav dmos, the mizbeach cries for him. What kind of comparison is this? Rabbi Jonathan Sachs writes beautifully, bottom of page 4, after several centuries, the idea of love as sacrifice has grown thin in many areas of life. We see this specifically in relationships. Throughout the West, fewer people are getting married. They are getting married later, and almost half of the marriages end in divorce. Throughout Europe, indigenous populations are in decline. To have a stable population, a country must have an average birth rate of 2.1 children per female. In 2015, the average birth rate throughout the European Union was 1.55. In Spain, it was 1.27. Germany is the lowest birth rate of any country in the world. That is why the population of Europe today is rendered stable only on the basis of unprecedented rates of immigration. I want to add an addendum. The three leaders of the three biggest countries in Europe, Germany, England, and France, together have zero biological children. And they're not the only countries, I'm just highlighting those three. Lose the concept of sacrifice within a society, and sooner or later marriage falters. Parenthood declines and the society slowly ages and dies. My late predecessor, the Lord Jacobowitz, had a lovely way of putting this. The Talmud says that when a man divorces his wife, the altar sheds tears. What's the connection between the altar and a marriage? Both, he said, are about sacrifices. Marriages fail when the partners are unwilling to make sacrifices for one another. It's wanting to build together in a way that you understand requires sacrifice. Next point, page 5. A proper, healthy relationship. I'm going to start with a quote from Dr. John Gottman, but we're going to see where it finds its roots in the Torah. Fondness and admiration are the two most critical elements in a rewarding and long-lasting romance. Although happily married couples may feel driven to distraction at times by their partner's personality flaws, they still feel that the person they are married to is worthy of honor and respect. And that's why it was very hard for me earlier today when my spouse was going late in her shiur. No one could get her to stop. They called me out of another room. You have to get Shani to stop. I said, come on. You're asking me, in order to get to my shiur about how to build a healthy marriage, to have my wife, I should be the one to stop her. But I guess that's what Afrayas means. And I want to say, I say this all the time. The closer you are to a person, the more you see their foibles, their issues, etc. But I can tell you something which nobody else knows. The closer you get to my wife, the more you appreciate her greatness. And it's very, very true and very, very special. And I always say, I very much believe I'm married to the greatest person in the world, and I'm not the only one who believes that. But at least I believe that very much. And that understanding is critical to be able to see in the person you're with that they're worthy of honor and respect. Let's see the Torah sources for this. We know that when Hashem took whatever he took out of Adam to make Chava, he put him asleep first. And the obvious question is, God is the best surgeon. He can take the thing out without putting him to sleep. Why did he have to put him into a coma? Rashi says, he didn't want Adam to see the mess that would be going on during surgery. He would see what was going on, and she would always have that disgust in his eyes. Rav Avner Klaus, a rabbi in Israel, says, that you see in here how important it is in marriage life to sometimes be asleep when there are disgusting things going on. We have to know how to sometimes be asleep, or as a spouse, how to sometimes do things that you don't do in front of your spouse. And sometimes we feel so natural, so close, we can do things that cause a feeling of disgust. And if we want to allow our spouse to see us worthy of honor and respect, we have to be sensitive to this. And if we go back to the Medrash earlier, really beautiful Medrash that I skipped over, which was on page 3. The Medrash says, third source, Medrash Rabbah says, Nagila v'nismecha bach, the Simcha and Hashem, tells a story about a couple who were married for 10 years and did not have children. They went to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and said, well, what should we do? He said, you have to get divorced. But before you get divorced, make a party together with each other to show your love and your relation. They made a party. The husband and wife got happy drinking. The husband said to the wife, I know you have to go, but take anything you want with you. Whatever is most beloved to you, I want you to take. The next morning he woke up, he was in his bed, in his father-in-law's house. And he said to his wife, what am I doing here? She said, you said I should take with me whatever is most precious to me. They went back to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he davened for them and they had children. And the obvious question is, he couldn't daven for them originally. He wanted them to reconnect with that feeling for each other, which is the basis of bringing children into this world, or should be. Bottom of page 6, I want to talk about the role external people play. We already saw Hashem plays a role, erases his own name for shalom. Let's see other examples. Bereishis Perek Yud-Chet, we're on page 5, where were we up to? The Malachim come. Avram is taking care of them. He goes, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, where's Sarah? He goes, she's in the Ohel. What was this whole conversation for? Rashi says, they were trying to show Avram how special Sarah was, that she's Tzanua, she's in the tent. Like what the Gemara says in Nida Daflamad Alf, the purpose of separation of Nida is that we should reappreciate each other. There's an obvious question Rav Volbi, quoted by a friend on the bottom of page 5, asks. Because I don't understand. Sheva brachas, you speak positive about Chassan and Kala, they should appreciate each other. Avraham Avinu was 100 years old. Sarah was almost 90 years old. They'd been married for a long time. They have to show how wonderful they are to each other? And continue on page 6, Rav Volbi says, I don't understand. This is Avraham Avinu. He's a tzaddik, he's a pillar of the world. We have to teach him about romance and how special Sarah is. Avobi answers, top of page 6. From here we see that the matter of increasing endearment is something which is necessary the entire lifespan of a couple. We see this from the Gemara that a person can be married for 30 years, 50 years, 60 years or more, but marriages are dynamic relationships, and dynamic relationships need constant growth and constant renewal and constant appreciation of each other. And that's, of course, where the famous words of Beis Hillel come from. Beis Hillel says at a wedding, you're supposed to say, Kala, Noah, v'chasuda. Beis Shammai says, I don't understand. If the woman is a cripple, you're going to say, Kala, Noah, v'chasuda. Midva sheker tirachak. One could go even further. People are going to realize you're lying. Beis Hillel said back to Beis Shammai, when a person buys a new car, you tell them, oh, it's only a Fiat. You say, what, this is what you bought? You tell them, oh, what a great car. And people believe it because it's what they chose. The role people on the outside have to play in helping couples appreciate each other. We all know Rashi's famous words in explaining why a mitzvah, part of his punishment, is that he's put outside the Jewish camp to sit alone. Rashi says, he used his koach in relating to other people to separate people from each other with Lashon Hara. He goes into separation. I cannot emphasize this point enough. Because of the tensions and competitions people have, people often play a destructive role in causing spouses to disrespect each other. I'm not exaggerating when I say there are very few things in this world that are a greater chait than that. If God is willing to erase his name to strengthen the relationship between married couples, how bad is it if you play a role in causing tension between them? It's one thing if you don't realize it. People sometimes realize it, to whisper a word about a spouse. It could be true. It could be true. But what's going to be the implication of that word? And we don't think about it. Kal v'chomer, we should be trying to help spouses appreciate each other. Sometimes siblings, we have this, we have a frustration, we have this, a cousin, a friend. The role, the responsibility to be a positive force, and chas v'shalom, not to be a negative force. Obviously, the biggest role that we play is with our own spouses. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes, says, "La'olam yehi adam zahir ba'onas ishto shemitoch shedimasa metzuya onasa krova." Person should be careful about how they relate to their spouse, to try and avoid causing pain, trying to avoid causing tears. The Gemara later says, a person should be careful about the kavod they show their spouse, Shein bracha mitzuyah b'toch beisah shel adam ela b'shvil ishto. The ability for a house to flower and succeed hinges on what here it says the wife invests in that house, and that it's important to express. Billy Joel had a song that is so important for young men. It was called Tell Her About It. And I tell Chassanim about it. People may have feelings. I said it once. I told my wife 24 years ago, I love you, and so she knows. And again, you know, men actually think that makes sense. Right? It's not just expressing love, it's expressing interest. Expressing interest in someone else's life. It's very hard for us because it's the people with all the time. To work very hard, there's a romantic atmosphere, there's a humoristic atmosphere. To never have your spouse the butt of the joke. It's very hard. It's very hard. To make sure that it's emphasizing the positive. How do we act at a time of argument? People have arguments. How do we act towards each other? How do you describe, how do you relate to your spouse at a time of argument? You disagree about something? You're hurt by something? I always tell my students, there's no one in the world that can possibly hurt you like your spouse. How do you express yourself when you're feeling that way? And now, how to restore shalom, understanding the other person, respecting the other person, trying to focus on the central things that can be done to try and improve in how you relate to each other. On top of page 7. One of my brother-in-laws mentioned this yesterday in a different context, but it really is something amazing. When we write the Tnoyim, before the Ksuva, between Chassan and Kala, it says, we make a commitment, the spouses aren't going to hide things from each other. Next line, they'll live in love and affection with each other. This is what we're talking about in the Tanayim. With marriage, they won't hide things from each other. Trust. Trust. The trust of another person and making yourself someone worthy of trust. Avshabtai Silvetsky speaks about the importance of this, and I think the source of this, of the importance of trust, is... Let's go back to the Chinuch on page 1. Remember how he explained, based on Chazal, the purpose of Mei Sota, not to ensure purity, not to be a deterrent, but to bring shalom. He said the problem you see in the parasha of Sota is the suspicion people have of their spouse. Shorash mitzvazu nigla l'chol roi Hashem shu shevach gado ba'uma lios lenu tachbula lahotzi mitoch levavenu achshad v'nishotenu. To remove suspicion. To be able to know one way or the other. U'mitoch kach, the second part in bolted, rabba bein ish l'ishto ava v'shalom shalim v'zarenu yekodesh. Shalom begins with the ability to trust. And to make sure that you're a person that deserves to be trusted. There's a Gemara that talks about how you're allowed to lie to shalom bayis. That's a very dangerous Gemara. Because if your spouse gets used to you being someone who lies to them, they can't ever be trusted. It has to be the super duper exception under unique circumstances. If you get used to hiding the way people hide out there in the world, then there can't be trust. There can't be love without trust. And the flip side of this is a very powerful idea we see in the way Chas and Kala are described, Sameach to Sameach, Rehim Ha'uvim, beloved friends. The first place in the Torah where the term Re'ehu appears is when Yehuda sends his friend, the Adulami, with the money to get back the staff he had given to the prostitute, to Tamar. A friend explains, why is this the place where it says Re'ehu? Because what kind of friend was this Adulami to Yehuda that he could share with him what he had done? Do we have friends like that that we could share something like that with if you, Chas v'Shalom, did such a thing? Because that's what we mean when we say Re'im Ha'uvim. That there's enough love and respect and trust that if a person does do something wrong, you have someone you can share it with and figure out how to get through it with. And this is how the Rambam explains what the ultimate chaver, which is what a spouse should be, is. Aseh lecha rav u'kneh lecha chaver. He goes, a chaver is someone you trust enough, who appreciates you and values you, and cares about what happens with you enough that you can share whatever it is with. We need to conclude now, and I'd like to conclude with one last point on page 8. In order for a marriage to succeed, we have to find the way to solve problems, to solve crises, and to see ourselves as connected to each other through thick and thin. It's so interesting to see that we take it from the words that Ruth said to her mother-in-law Naomi. Hamavit yafrid b'ni uvenech. The understanding that when we get married, we make a choice. We're not Catholics who don't believe that it can't be dissolved, but we're Jews who believe that we don't look for it. We do everything to try and make it work if it can work. And that understanding of the moment in light of the past, looking forward to the future, is a beautiful idea that many say about a very famous Gemara in Brachos Avches. The Gemara there says that we find one pasuk which describes a woman as the best thing in the world. Matzah isha, matzah tov. There's another pasuk which describes a woman as it can bring such frustration to a person's life. Umotze ani mar mimaves es ha'isha. And we know how a spouse can be the best thing in the world, or a spouse can make you crazy if they decide to. The difference is the word matzah without a vav, or the word motze with a vav. And the Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, when people got married, they would ask, is it a matzah or a motze? It was their way of saying, did the person find a matzah in a good way or in a bad way? Refran writes, one of the many interpretations given to this Gemara is as follows. If someone looks at his wife, not only in terms of the present, but in terms of the totality of the past, matzah, taking into account all the good times that have transpired, and not only the here and now, that they may have featured some lapses, then it will be good matzah tov. This is how a successful marriage works. However, if it's always motze, always focused on the here and now, then when something goes wrong, the only thing apparent will be the situation immediately in front of him. It will be a situation more bitter than death. And I use this as the last point because I think the best way to summarize what marriage is supposed to be Jewishly is it's supposed to be looking at the present in light of the past and as a basis for the future. It's when people look at the present in a vacuum when they make the biggest mistakes. If we understand that our successful future will only be with this person and through working well with this person, and we look at everything in the past, we look at all the good in the past as opposed to allowing ourselves to be focused on whatever problems there are in the present, when we're able to see our lives and our marriage in that perspective, from the very beginning of marriage, the tefillah of Yitzchak with Rivka, I want my future to be only with this person. Looking to appreciate and constantly be reminded of what there is to appreciate, this kind of perspective and understanding can help us not make the mistake of throwing away the best part of our lives. And the best part of our lives are the people we get to spend it with. Are that special other half of our soul that we get to be reconnected with and live our lives with. And so I want to, say that this year I devote in honor of my mother-in-law, who it's her 70th birthday, which brings us to Community Shabbos, and in respect and love for the wonderful person I get to spend my life with. May we all succeed at strengthening our own marriages, those of our children, those of future generations. We'll now daven mincha. Ashrei. For those who didn't get makorot, there are more copies in the front.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you.